Thank you, Brother Gall. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would. The book of Matthew. All right, I'm trying to check and see if anybody drank this water before me. Amen. I sound like I got some, but I don't want to get nothing. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7. And again, I want to say thank you to everyone. And I did not mention my wife, and I'm so glad that Brother Donahue did that this morning. I didn't ask him to do that. He'll be preaching here in a couple Wednesdays while we're down on the soul winning marathon. He's going to give the full report, but I didn't want to let it go without making sure that you knew that he had made it there, made it back. He prayed for us, but it was in the short. He was kind of the other night. And so I wanted our Sunday morning folks to be able to see him and see that he's back, and that your prayers got answered, that he had a great work. He'll give the full report here on a Wednesday night, not this Wednesday coming, but the next one. And tonight, don't miss it, Brother John Castle that was on the radio from Rock of Ages, great preacher, preaches a lot of camp meetings and things, and he's going to be preaching for us tonight in the service, and we'll be blessed to have him tonight, and it'll save my voice for one more day, and I'll appreciate him doing that. But here I want to preach a message to you this morning on the pursuit of godliness, the pursuit of godliness. And then we thank God for all that he's done. And you know, it changed my world in this life when I realized, you know, I don't know about you, but it changed my world when I came to a place where I realized that I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. You know, when my car breaks down, I have a conversation with God now. I said, God, your car's broke. Because I gave it to him a long time ago. I said, now, I'm willing to fix it, but if you want me to get a new one, you know, I need you to give that one to me too. Amen? It don't work as well when the microwave's broke. You know, my wife said, she tells me my microwave's broke. Amen? And I keep saying, God, your microwave's broke. Amen? But either way, when my coffee is cold, I need to fix it. Amen. But, you know, it's a blessing when we realize it's God's radio station. And he takes care of it. Amen. And he supplies it through his people. And I'm just thankful for the victory again. And here in chapter 7, we find ourselves. And Jesus, it's so much red letter. If you have a red letter Bible this morning, you realize Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. I'm going to have to probably drink that this morning so I don't get too raspy on you, but the pursuit of godliness, we find it here. You know, so much is being dealt with in the chapter 6 at the end. He's dealing with worry. So we can worry, can't we, sometimes? Well, right now, with all that's on the news and everything going on in the world, and as I pulled up to the gas pump about midnight last night to make sure we had gas for this morning, that'll worry you too. I watched it go higher than I've seen it in a long time, amen? And that'll worry, you know, but we serve God that he's not just God on the mountaintops, he's still God in the valleys as well. And if he could supply when everything was good, then he can supply when everything's bad. If he, you know, we think about the economy and all the things and the circumstances, but let me tell you this morning that God is still God and he can still take care of all our needs if we'll go to him and pursue him in a godly way. God wants a Christian to follow him in the way that he's laid out in his book. Too many times what happens is we go to God as a last resort. Too many times we see God as the escape hatch, and God, I've got my plan and I've got my way and I'm going to do it this way because this is how I've worked it out in the past. When all along God has a plan that would be much easier, much better for us if we just follow him in his plan, wouldn't he? It wouldn't be good if we just went to God first before it got this bad, before it got out of hand. Before it just seemed like the only one that can put Humpty Dumpty back together is God. You know, if Humpty Dumpty just would get off the wall and stop straddling the fence and get on God's side, he probably wouldn't have been broke all to pieces anyway. But too many times God's people are like Humpty Dumpty. They're straddling the fence and walking on the wall and fell on the wrong side of things. But they call out to God and God is good. Listen, Humpty Dumpty can be put back together, but he'll still have all the cracks in his shell on the other side. He'll still be showing all the scars that happened. And listen, in this morning, I know the crowd I'm preaching to. I know where I'm at, but this is what God asked me to preach. The pursuit of godliness, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse number 7. But I want to pray this morning and ask the Lord to help us, help me this morning as we preach. Let's pray together. Dear God, I come to you this morning the best way I know how. God, I thank you for the great victory, and I know that you showed up, Lord, me and you, as we got alone together, Lord, you just gave me peace in my heart that you were going to take care of it through your people. God, I'm thankful for that peace. I'm thankful for that peace. I ask that peace for the Carter family this morning and the Combs family, Lord. I know these flowers that are in front of the pulpit, God, are in honor of Rhett, Lord. I know that they need peace. They need comfort, Lord, that only you can give. God, I pray this morning you'd be with Pastor Carter. I know that he's in pain this morning. He'd be here. If not, Lord, I pray that you'd reach and touch him, God, and heal him even now. But God, this morning as we meet together and we open your word, God, we need a touch from God in this place. God, I know that each one of us want to pursue you, God, and oftentimes we pursue you in our own way. God, help us to put off our own way and to come to you the way you want us to come. God, if there's one here that doesn't know you and needs to come to you through salvation, Lord, I pray that they would come the only way that a man can be saved, and they come through Jesus this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as Christians who know you and know that we're on our way to heaven, that today that we would seek you and pursue you in a godly way, that we might be able to walk with you on a daily basis. We ask it in the name that's above every name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Matthew chapter 7, we see here, you know, oftentimes in our lives we find ourselves in the midst of discouragement. We find ourselves in the midst of depression. We find ourselves as sometimes disabled Christians. Not in the flesh, but disabled. Somehow we feel like we've been taken apart and we are unable to serve God because of where we are spiritually, because we just don't come to God the way God wants us to come to Him. We don't follow and walk with Him. We want to be set in our own ways and in our own processes. But God Almighty sent His Son to die on Calvary to pay for our sin debt. And that same Jesus stood on a mountain one day and said, "This is how I want you to deal with me. This is how I want you to be as a believer. This is how I want you to walk with me on a daily basis." And He says this in verse 7. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." You say, that can't be that simple. Well, what does Jesus say in verse 8? "For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." This book is a book of, it says, hey, if a man will ask, it'll be given to him. Now, the problem with us is we want it in our time. I asked God once, but He didn't give it to me. Well, maybe you needed to ask again. Maybe God wanted to give it to you, He just didn't give it to you then. You know, what I would have liked to happen is at the beginning of Restore-a-thon, we could have walked in and $281,000, $770 was on the glass, and we could have had one meal, and I could have ate that smoked bacon and gone on home instead of spending 3 days up in the radio station. But that's not God how God laid it out, is it? You know, I can't tell you how many times I slipped away, and when you thought I was still in there because there was a delay in the screen, amen, I was somewhere else praying because I wanted God to meet the need. I had already begged Him before we started for Him to meet the need and to take care of it, for Him to put the number on the glass that He wanted and that I would be satisfied with what He said was enough. And I just went to God, but you know, it wasn't enough. Man, in the midst of the thing, I said, "God, you got to do it again. God, you got to give it. God, you got to touch the heart. God, you've got to draw on someone who can take care and meet this need. You touch the heart. You pull on the heartstrings. You compel the person that needs to give." I don't know about you, but over and over again, I find myself in this life that I'm not enough to meet the needs of my family. I'm not enough to take care of all the things that could discourage, the wheels that could come off, the protection. Even if I had Smith & Wesson and I had a couple other things, a Glock and one in each hand, and I could shoot with my feet, there are so many things in this life that could take and attack my family. I'm not enough to protect it. I need God to take care of my family. I need God to hedge up my church. I need God to hedge up our school. I need God to hedge up the radio station. We need God, and the only way I'm going to see God work is if I ask, because God says He'll answer. He said, "If I ask, I'll receive." Listen, folks, I think too many times in the Christian life, we feel disabled because the last place we ask is God. The last person we go to is God. Or if we ask Him once, we think that's enough. The pursuit of godliness is going to God over and over and over again until God says it's enough. You know, sometimes in our day and age, you know, maybe I don't know about you, but and after coming out of Restorathon, I know you ladies, you brought so much food up there. You don't think I know what the word fast means. Amen. Or you think when I say fast, I eat fast. Amen. But you know, but there are some things in the scripture that Jesus said, they don't happen unless we pray and fast. And I think in our day and age, it's something that isn't preached like it ought to be preached. It isn't talked about like it ought to be talked about. But there are some things in this Christian life, if we don't just break down and pray and fast about it, we don't see the answer because God doesn't see that we're serious about it. We're not serious enough to put away some of our necessary food in the flesh to see God do something in the spirit in this life. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you, predating that, I'm not trying to tell you and give God the glory. I want God to get every bit of it. But I'm telling you, there were some days that I went to God before we had this thing that I wanted to get away from Him. And I didn't, well, listen, all the other necessary food for the flesh, that wasn't going to make $281,770. That was God. And I wanted to get a hold of Him. And I wanted to know, and I wanted to have peace in my own soul that God was going to show up in that place and to do what only God could do. Hey, some of you are sitting in this place today and it isn't a financial need that you have. It's a physical need. And there isn't but one person that can meet it. And that's an almighty God. And you know what? Maybe you ought to stop yourself and ask God, but maybe you ought to put away some things. Maybe it isn't food. Maybe it's your cell phone that you need to put away. And say, God, this is the most precious thing to me in this life, but I'm going to turn this off and I'm going to fast from it and I'm going to focus on You. I'm going to show You that I really mean it. You know, in the Bible, when we see them, old Elisha comes up and Elijah walks up and he's up there with the prophets of Baal. And I mean, he's going to make a sacrifice unto God. Listen, you know, it wasn't any sacrifice to take a cow and cut it up there. You know what those folks went into the desert looking for? Water. Because there was a famine in the land. And old Elijah, he knew that there was a sacrifice. And he says, listen, I mean, it may not have looked to a fast to you, but I can tell you to every one of those Israelites, when he said, you bring those barrels that you came out here in the desert to find, those deserts you're about to take back to the palace so that everybody, Jezebel and everybody else can have water. You bring those barrels and you dig a trench about this thing and you pour out that water. Listen, it isn't until we get to a place that we will pour out the things in our lives that are most precious to us and say, God, I want You more than I want this. God, I want You more than I want this. God, I need this thing from You. I need You to show up in my life and show Yourself real. It's not until we get to that place and we beg God and we fast from the things that we really don't really need, but we think we need. That's when God will answer our prayer. There are some things that will not leave our lives, will not leave our homes, will not leave our children alone until we are serious enough with God to not only just ask Him, but to fast and pray and beg God to move in our lives. You say, well, oh, you talk about fasting like you can handcuff God. No, I serve a God that is ready and willing to give His children an answer from heaven. You don't think that He's a good enough Father that He wants to take care of every one of your needs? This book says He wants to. He wants to do more than that. He wants to take care of your wants. Amen. But you got, listen, I'm just going to tell you, I'm a daddy too. And I sure am not a good enough dad. I'm not a daddy like God is. Do you know what? When my young people come to me and I see they, in some way that I have told them, they ask. I say, well, you know, all right. I hear you. Daddy, I really want this. Daddy, I really want this. Daddy, I really would like to see this. Daddy, I need this. Daddy, I can't live without this. Daddy, I gotta have it. Daddy, I need it right now. Man, this thing is coming, and if you don't come through, I'm not gonna have it, and I need it for this day. Hey, when my youngin' comes up and says, Daddy, this is all I got. Daddy, I'll give you everything I got. I can't do it without You. I need You to put in the other half of this. I'm willing to pay everything I've got. I need it. I need it right now. Do you know sometimes it's not until we come to a place where we come before God and we say, God, I got to have this. God, I give you everything that I am, and I'm still not enough. But you are. Do you know, as a daddy, when I realize that it means that much to them, I don't mind stepping in and making it happen. When I realize it's for their good and for our family's glory, there's not one good thing that I will hold back from one of my children. And if I, as an earthly man, look at the scripture with me. Jesus says in verse 9, or what man is there of you whom if he have a son ask bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish to eat, will he give him a serpent? If then being evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Amen. Look, I want you to read the next verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You know, when I read this scripture, I thought to myself, man, God couples how I treat others with my answered prayer. Amen. You know, when the Bible says therefore, it's talking about everything that came before it. He said, if you want something of me, you ask me. You pursue me in godliness. Think about this now, folks. Come on. Hang in with me. I didn't hang the phone up yet. Amen. We still got a matching hour going. Amen. All right, everybody's awake. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And he says, therefore, all these things, whatsoever you would, that men, you get that? Men. Do you know, I realize in this life a lot of times when I ask God for things, God doesn't show up right there. If I asked God, I had a student one time was begging God. He hadn't eaten in about, you know, a good 24-hour period, didn't have a dime, was knowing he was going to get paid at the end of the week, but it was the middle of the week, and he hadn't eaten. And I wasn't pastor here, but Pastor Carter wasn't feeling good and couldn't come. Amen. And I preached on a Wednesday night in this place to our people here. Amen. And I called my wife and said, man, I want to preach that God is everything and a bucket of chicken. I said, would you go to KFC and make sure you get a bucket of chicken and bring it? And I stood up here and I was preaching on God is everything and a bucket and better than a bucket of chicken. And I was a ripping and a snorting. And I went down and I handed that bucket of chicken to that college student. Now, everybody else came to the altar, but he went into the vestibule. Because everybody else was praying, but he had an answer to prayer. God didn't come from heaven and hand it to him. You know what? A man handed that to him. Do you know in this radio station and all this, I've read this passage of scripture before, but until I read this and I was thinking about Restorethon, you know that God will answer me. You know, in Bible college, I had a great need. My wife and I sat down and we went through our budget and what the church was paying me and what my bills were by the end of the month. I was short, okay? And when I surrendered to God, I asked him to help me work for him, and I didn't want to take another job. I begged him. I said, God, I'm going to trust you. And that was hard for me coming to Bible college, and the preacher hired me, and they couldn't pay me a whole lot. What I made a week before I came to college, I made a month when I came here. That was hard, and God took care of us. He saw us through it. But I begged God to meet my need on a monthly basis through his means, however he wanted to do it. I've told this story before, but it still breaks my heart every time I tell it. I got a letter in the mail, not a couple days later, from my grandfather who said, I want to take you on as my missionary. I want you to soul win. Like I was there going soul winning with you. I'm going to invest, but I want to see souls. I want to see a harvest from my investment. But I'm going to send this check every month. Hey, folks, I got mad with God. I got upset with him. I said, you know my grandparents, they don't have this money to give. And God smote my heart and said, who are you to tell me who I can give through? Who are you to tell me who I can touch? Who are you to tell me how I can answer your prayer? Hey, folks, sometimes the least likely person inside of God's house or outside of God's house, when you beg God and you meet him upon your knees and you fast and you pray and you say, God, listen, sometimes when you treat people according to the scripture, therefore all things whatsoever you do that men should do unto you, do even so unto them. Sometimes when you're doing right, even when you don't have a need, after a while, when you've done something, you know, I just treated everybody like I wanted to be treated. When there comes a day when you have a need, God will use one of those people to take care of your need. Isn't that crazy how God works things out? You know, you say, well, I can take care of myself. Oh, can you? I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. You know, we're all good. Some of us are physically, we're in good shape. But, you know, financially, maybe we're not. Some of us are financially in good shape, but maybe physically we're not. We could go through the list of all the things that we really need of God. And maybe we don't feel like we have one need today, but tomorrow's coming. Amen. Hey, I can tell you, you go back 2 or 3 months, 4 months from ago, Ukrainians weren't thinking they needed anything. They thought they were sitting pretty. I guarantee you today, people are calling out and begging God for the needs that they have because they need God to meet their need. You know, America's not so high and mighty that we may not have a need down the road. We're not so good that God can't do the very same thing to us and have somebody come up against us where we don't need God to meet our need and to stand in our place and meet the enemy for us. Hey, we don't need to think that we're just so late in the last days that could never happen to us, preacher. Hey, we don't know what day Jesus is coming back. I know that all things are fulfilled, but we don't know what's going to be on the morrow.
That's right.
Hey, we better come to a place in our lives where we walk with God and we can ask him. Hey, I don't want to just walk and ask God. I want to seek God. Amen. Boy, you come into church today as a way that you seek God. But listen, we need to seek God on a daily basis. Boy, I tell you, when I remember when I got hungry for the things of God and I began to not only pray and ask God for wisdom, but then God directed me to his word. God directed me to his man. God directed me to his word and had me seek and search in it and find so many good things. I remember when I used to fall on my face and I say, God, I don't understand this. And I'd get in his book and he would speak to me. And it would like the Holy Spirit of God would remove a veil from my eyes. And I read the same passage that I've read over and over again. And all of a sudden now the scripture would tie together and I'd see the goodness of God in every story, in every past. I mean, in all the stories in the Old Testament, all of a sudden I see how they were for my admonition. Before I thought they were just great stories of David in the battle. But then I hear a preacher get up and preach about the giant of sin. Hey, and a descendant of old King David came through his line and he slayed the old giant of sin. And now I had a way when there was no way. Then I could go to heaven when I couldn't go to heaven the day before because Jesus had stepped in and slayed the giant that I couldn't slay in my life. All I had to do was come to him in salvation. You know, I sought God through salvation and now I'm still seeking him. You know, I want to apprehend exactly by whom I'm apprehended by. I want to know Jesus. Listen, Paul says, I want to fellowship with him. I want to know him. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. Folks, I know one day I'm going to know the power of his resurrection and I'm going to be changed into his likeness. But before that day, in my mind and in my heart, I want to know the power of God's resurrection. I want to be able to preach it to a lost and dying world that a man don't have to die and go to hell. But that because Jesus died and paid for my sins and he rose on the third day, I have a hope of a resurrection. That one day, if I seek him and I'm saved by him, one day I'm going to see him face to face and know as I am known. Hey, folks, that's what our radio station's about. This is what this book is about. You say, preacher, why are you getting excited? Because I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did on Calvary. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I still want to seek him. I still want to seek the Savior. I've asked Him. I've asked and asked and asked, and I've seeked. But listen, I don't want to stop knocking. You know, we had a restore-a-thon, and we didn't go out and knock doors, but people came knocking on our door. What's going on in this place? We invited people that were lost to come in. You know that three people that I know of during restore-a-thon, some that were on air and some that were not, came into that place lost, and before they left, they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior because somebody took a Bible and showed them that they could know that they know that they know that they're on their way to heaven. So many times in this life, people don't even know what to ask for. They know they're missing something because inside of them, there's a God-shaped hole in their heart. And if somebody would just knock on their door, somebody would just knock on the door of their heart and say, hey, do you know if you die today that you go to heaven? Do you know today if this was your last day on earth, would you know for sure that you're going to spend it in eternity with an almighty God who loved you and died for you and rose again to pay for your sins? Hey, folks, you know, so many times we miss so many opportunities because when opportunity knocks, we don't answer. Amen. Do you know when I have kids, and maybe you're not like this, but my kids are persistent. You know what I'm talking about? Persistent. I wish I had that same persistence. You know, sometimes I'm not awake yet, or I'm getting up slow, but my kids got up early. And I've locked the door to my wife and I's bedroom, and I'm still laying there, and I'm awake, but, you know, not really ready to deal with my children. Amen? Amen? You know what I'm talking about, Amen. Right? I ain't got no socks in my room. Give me some socks, Dad. I'm talking teenagers. You know, the little kids, they're cute. Daddy, are you in there? It's my room, kid. Now they're teenagers. They know I'm in there. Get this from me right now. Hey, help me right now. Hey, you know what? If God's people were like that more, you know, we're afraid we're going to offend somebody. But you know what? It's better to offend somebody than somebody die and go to hell. Because God is knocking on my heart and say, hey, tell that person. Tell that person. Tell that person about Jesus. And sometimes I say, well, Lord, I don't know if they're ready yet. And listen, I want to keep knocking. You know, I mean, I think to myself sometimes that as a Christian, you know, Jesus over and over again has had to forgive me of things. And don't make yourself out to be perfect, all right? Since you've been saved, you're a sinner too. God has been so consistent. God has been so good. He has persevered through my Christian life and paid for every sin, not just the ones till I was saved, but for everyone after salvation. How can I be any less for Him? How can I come short? How can I stop knocking when others still need Him? How can I stop serving Him? How can I stop asking for souls to be saved? How can I stop seeking to know God's word? How could we ever come to a place where we wouldn't persevere through the trials of this life? Hey, folks, we're going to need to run buses, and diesel isn't getting any cheaper. But I know a God in heaven that'll supply every one of our needs, but we got to keep going. We got to keep knocking. We got to keep filling the buses up. If there ever was a day you say, well, preacher, you're crazy. You're going to add another bus route and go after more kids. And gas is more expensive and everything's more expensive. There are people still lost and dying and more moving into our area. How in the world could we ever stop asking and stop seeking and stop knocking when God is calling and drawing men into Himself? Hey, folks, if you're in here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, hey, I'm asking you, consider what Christ has done on Calvary for you. Hey, somebody sought you out and asked you to come to church. You say, well, nobody asked me, preacher. You don't think a still small voice was seeking you? And so you need to be in church today. And in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Hey, you know, this morning he's knocking on your heart's door. That's not the preacher tugging on your heartstrings. That Almighty God who died on Calvary and paid for your sin debt, and he's compelling you to come and accept Christ as your Savior. If you're already saved, God's compelling you, I know this morning, to step out in prayer, in service, and in some area, and surrender your life. Something that you've been holding back from him, he wants it from you today. Well, we had a victory. What a victory it was. Amen. Do you know every soul is a victory? Amen. I don't know how many souls will come to Christ through the radio station this year. And only heaven will be able to tell that, folks. And as much as I saw come and the number that was on that glass, but I still want to ask God for more. Not more money to put up pledges, but I want more. I want more than he gave me yesterday. I want to seek him and know him more than I did yesterday. I want to knock and have people answer and receive Jesus Christ. Well, I can't wait to see what God will do throughout this 2022 if we'll just ask him and seek and knock and see. I mean, and just be persistent and pursue God, pursue him this year. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you know you can know that if you just trust in him. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to have an old-fashioned altar call. It's old-fashioned because a lot of times maybe you've been in church and you've never seen one. And that's where we're going to stand to our feet in a minute, and the piano's going to play and the song leader's going to lead in a song, and I'm going to step to the front. And I'll ask you, listen, if you want to be saved, we want to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure today that if you accept Jesus Christ, you can know for sure that you'll be on your way to heaven. What I'm asking you to do is step out. It's an invitation to come and meet me in the front. And let me take a Bible and show you how Jesus died and rose again and that you can be saved. As we stand to our feet this morning, if you're not saved, just step out and come. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you step out and come. As God speaks to your heart, Brother Bert, would you lead us in a song?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou
this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I pray you'll come to Christ this morning. I know that it's hard, but while people have their head bowed and eyes closed, if you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, then you may end up in hell. I didn't preach much about it this morning, but there's only two destinations for the soul, and one is eternal life, and the other is eternal death in hell. This morning, if you're here and you're not sure which place you'll end up, I beg you to step out and come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior while Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and God, I come. I just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight rich is healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? We want someone to step out and come. I know that there's someone in here that doesn't know Christ as your Savior. I don't want to prolong the invitation, but I want you to step out and come if God is speaking to your heart. If you're lost and you're not sure that you're saved, then step out and come. Don't resist it. These folks are in this room, and every one of them was just like you one day. They were on their way to hell, but because of what Jesus did for them, they got in on it. Now they're on their way to heaven. They want you to be saved. If you're here and you need to move your membership, you need to be baptized, step out in obedience unto the Lord while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise.